When you think boots, you think Ariat. You think comfort from day one and durability to day 1,000. You think steel toes on the job, square toes on the dance floor, with style that owns a Saturday night and still looks sharp enough for Sunday dinner. And through every mile and every moment, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, turn bad ideas into better stories, and still punch the clock come Monday morning. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat boots at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
The stage is set. It's Dodgers versus Blue Jays in the 2025 World Series. Shohei Ohtani, Brandon, is in fact on a flight to Toronto.
Hey.
And we are back. It is Deferred Collusion. It's me, Jesse Rowe, King of Crespi, joined as always by Brandon Bullinger, the Lord Paramount of the South Bay in Los Angeles, California. Brandon, last night was an emotional game. Blue Jays pulled it out in seven. How are you feeling, Pappas?
I am excited.
I timed that out perfectly, didn't I?
Thank you, Jesse. You did tee me up, dude. That was fantastic. What an emotional roller coaster that game seven was. Jess, I want to first just say RIP to your preseason prediction of a Seattle Mariners Los Angeles Dodgers World Series. But hey, snaps for how close.
Look, dude, I blame you, to be honest, because you brought it up on the last episode or two episodes ago when the Mariners were up 2-0 in the series. You were like, Jess, I just want to give you credit, man. You picked Mariners Dodgers. And I was like, I wasn't going to fucking say anything until it came true. And then I started feeling myself a little bit.
Damn.
And this is what happened. This is what I get. I'm honestly heartbroken for Mariners fans. As exciting as that game was, as awesome as the Springer home run was, even though it did give me some PTSD from 2017, which we will talk about, it was an amazing game.
Ethier!
But my heart was just like in my chest for Seattle, because that was just brutal. Just a rough way to go. But Toronto earned it. They had to scratch and claw, and they earned every bit of that series.
Absolutely, snaps all around for the season the Seattle Mariners had, and what an absolute gutsy performance! Springer with an all-time ALCS historic legendary moment. Snaps all around. That was insane. Rogers Center already being disrespectful, which I absolutely love. If there's one thing we need, it's just a good old classic World Series. Two countries duking it out with a bunch of Dominican dudes and Japanese guys throwing 100 miles an hour at each other.
Is there a single Canadian in this series, by the way? I have no idea.
Think so. I think no.
Oh, is Freddie Canadian?
That's right. Well, his mom was, and he played for Team Canada, so he counts.
Yeah, he counts. Yeah, okay.
Russell Martin is a Dodger treasure. He's a Toronto guy as well. So
Who's he rooting for?
I guess I'm stretching there, but anyway.
And also, the true storyline behind all this is Drake versus Kendrick Lamar could potentially reignite their beef. And there's already talk about, will the Dodgers have Kendrick Lamar perform Not Like Us? Will the Blue Jays have Drake come out and perform a song? Are we going to reignite this rap beef? I mean, we kind of did it last year with Fat Joe and Ice Cube.
Yeah, dude. So, yeah, and it didn't work out so well for Fat Joe.
No, that's for sure. Yeah.
But, Jess, it would be hilarious. A certain segment of the country would just lose their mind if they had to see, like, Kendrick Lamar during another beloved sporting championship entertainment segment. I don't want, because there's no halftime, but seventh inning stretch with Kendrick would be incredible.
I mean, it'd be hard to. I think it's going to be pretty tough for. I don't think MLB has a Kendrick Lamar budget, if I'm being perfectly honest.
I agree.
You said that we're more likely to see somebody else. I forget who it was.
Oh yeah, I was like, I don't see the Dodgers pulling out the Bucks to get Kendrick Lamar, but I do see them pulling like a DJ Mustard and twos, do it like spinning the national anthem or something like that would be sick.
Yeah.
But it's exciting, dude. The Blue Jays are no joke. That offense has been just clubbing their way through the postseason. It's been electric to watch. That pitching staff, when times are good, is looking as dominant as anything. The ghost of Max Scherzer has arrived. He had a great outing. Yeah, dude, Vladdy's just looked like the $500 million man, small market Toronto.
Yeah. We never talked about the Scherzer game. That was awesome. Scherzer in Seattle.
It was a gem, and it made me even kind of more sad about how Kershaw got hung out there to dry in a second inning. He shouldn't have been out there. But that's neither here nor there, Jess. We are excited, dude. We are bound for another World Series. Dodgers fans, we're trying to run it back to back after a piss poor second half of the season. The Dodgers look like who we hoped they were going to be during the preseason. Except for Tanner Scott, no disrespect. Reports came out that he had a surgical procedure done on his lower body, but should be available to be on the World Series roster.
Yeah.
Jess, how are you feeling about that news?
Well, didn't I see an updated report that it was actually something on his ass? Like on it, like something on his butt?
I try not to talk about other guys' butts, Jess.
Yeah, well, hey, you know, we cover all the details here at Deferred Collusion. And yeah, apparently
that's the difference. That's how you know you are getting trusted journalistic integrity.
We have a lot of integrity here. It's something to do with his butt, dude. He's getting something to take out of his butt. Yeah, I mean, look, here's the thing about the situation.
Hopefully that stick out of there, dude, that was letting him pitch too good.
For the issue for the Dodgers,
hit me with the ladder.
Oh, sorry. Hold on a second.
No, it's okay. I'm kidding. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. Here, how about this?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Jeez. All right. Sorry. All right. I'll get that better next time. The bullpen situation, if you look at like the last couple of series, Dodgers went really heavy on the lefties. I think they only had three righties in the bullpen with Trinan, Roki, and Sheehan, where everybody else is pretty much lefty. So I don't know how you fit Scott into that if you're going to add more lefties, especially with a lineup with guys like Springer and Vladdy, who are probably the two guys that cause the most damage in that lineup. This is not a heavy power hitting lineup by any means, but this is a lineup that is just relentless in terms of approach and making contact. I have some stats that are, you know, somewhat concerning about the lineup, but we'll get there in a minute here, but in terms of Tanner Scott, I don't know how he fits in right now. You're going to have to pull a lefty. He'd probably replace Wroblewski. It seems like would be the move. I think I'm okay with it because I think he needs to play a part. I regardless of how I feel about Wroblewski, I do like the guy, but
yeah.
I do think
shout out Robo.
I do think we need Tanner Scott. As crazy as that sounds, I think that we're going to like need him to eat an inning here or there in this series. So hopefully he comes back and his arm feels good. That's what I'll say about it.
I love it. Hey, what better time to save your season than with a shutdown inning in
all
the
is
series,
forgotten,
you know what
dude.
I mean?
Yeah, if he comes in and just shoves and pitch, even if it's not in safe situations, even if it's not super high leverage, but just comes in like fifth or sixth when like there's a bad Glasnow outing,
dude,
or something.
Just get a clean inning.
Gets a clean inning and
who
it's
cares,
like keeps
baby.
It 4-2 or something like that.
Yeah.
Come on, man. Like just all is forgiven. Just fucking just do that. So the odds have come out. You put these in the notes. And in terms of the betting odds right now, Dodgers are a -210 favorite. Blue Jays are +175 as the underdog. And I'm curious what you think is the most likely outcome here, Brandon, because I know that we're going to give our predictions. Should we do our predictions now before we get into the stats, or should we save these until after we go through the stats?
Let's save them for after the stats.
Okay, I'm going to put them back in the notes so we don't forget about this.
Copy, Bobby. Yeah, and then, never mind. I'll say when we get there.
Yeah. So as of right now, there's no starters to be TBD, but it seems very likely that it'll be Blake Snell game one on Friday in Toronto, who does have home field advantage because the Dodgers didn't take the regular season as seriously. Not that they didn't take it seriously, but they had some, you know, poor spots in the regular season that forced them into this spot where they do not have a bye week, nor do they have home field against the Phillies or the Blue Jays now in this series, who only had a better record by one game. So it was pretty close. Blue Jays 194, Dodgers 193. Who do you think they're going to start? Do you think it's going to be Savage? Do you think it's going to be Gausman? Do you think maybe Scherzer? What do you think?
I think it'll be Gausman. I think that's their...
He pitched game seven a little bit.
Yeah, but...
I guess they have 4 days off, right?
So what? Yeah.
3 days off, yeah.
If game seven was what? So Monday? Yeah, four days off. I guess you start you Savage on normal rest, I would say. I know that's kind of like a... Kind of crazy because he's a rook, but I guess if you're taking him with all the momentum in the world after game seven, you like him at home, I think, with that home crowd, and go, you know what? I like our chance to hold serve at home, and you know, maybe we close this out before we would need him in a potential, you know, game six, game seven. So yeah. I think maybe I just talked myself into Vasavich. But like you said, there's still Scherzer out there, but I just don't know if you trust those old bones to, you know, in a do or die, you know, game seven or whatever you would need him
Scherzer
in. So
game four, I think, is probably most likely here.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, the Savage makes most sense because, yeah, you could technically have it as a bullpen day for Gausman yesterday because I think he only pitched one inning. But it, I don't know. I feel like they would more likely go you Savage.
If he only threw one inning, then I think they'll call it as a bullpen day, and I think we will see Gausman get the start against Snell, to be honest.
All right. Well, we'll see.
Changed my vote last second,
Maybe they'll throw a curveball, and it's Chris Bassett.
Whoa, dude, the Bassmaster. He's a beast.
Yeah, that's never
going to
happen.
Beast, yeah.
It's never going to happen, though. I mean, he
who do
he
you
didn't
think,
even,
dude?
He didn't even start against the Mariners. Do you think they're going to have him start against the Dodgers? No. So let's before we'll go to the odds in a bit and do our predictions, but I want to talk about a couple of just like underlying storylines here because the Dodgers do have a chance to get some redemption in this
That's
series.
True.
And you know, obviously George Springer left the Astros a few years back and he signed with the Blue Jays, and then he just had the biggest hit of his Blue Jays career, and he's kind of solidified himself now as like one of the all-time great postseason performers. Love him or hate him, like it or not, that's just kind of the truth. That's how it's going to go down in history. And he had one of the most historic home runs in the history of the Toronto Blue Jays. It's going to
definitely
be a home run that they, you know, talk about and remember forever. But the Dodgers have a chance to get revenge against George Springer in this series, who, you know, the only remaining player from that World Series team that the Dodgers faced. All right, for the Dodgers that year is Clayton Kershaw, I believe. I think he might be the only one left from that team. And, you know, obviously there's going to be, you know, I have some fan fiction in my mind that I want to see Kershaw on the mound at the end of Game 5 at Dodger Stadium. Dodgers up 3-1, and they're up, I don't know, like 7-1 in the ninth inning. And Clayton Kershaw strikes out George Springer to win the World Series.
Mm.
That's my fan fiction.
I like that. That gets me lighted up, dude. My pencil's pecked.
Okay.
But Jess, I don't know, man. I really like that fanfic. But I feel like it's not just like poetic that the Dodgers will officially get to kick off the announcement the dynasty has arrived. By breaking the final back of the unholy trinity that was Correa, Altuve, and Springer. You know, he was the guy, oh, I'm proposing to my lady after just cheating, you know, at Dodger Stadium and back home in Houston. Like, he was this all-American guy, and now it's time to tear his statue down as well. I would love to just see him get shut down all series. I hope they pitch him tough and don't let him elevate. It was I don't want to call it a meatball, but
that was a bad pitch. Dude.
It was a bad pitch that he got.
It was a bad pitch selection too. 1-0 fastball right down the middle with runners on second and third. It was bizarro, right? Yeah, I just really didn't like that pitch at all.
Yeah, they should have went to their closer. What was his name? Suarez or whatever. I'm all mixed up right now.
No. Suarez is on the Padres.
Oh, yeah. Whatever.
Now you're tripping me out. All right, yeah. I remember. Anyways, the point is, Springer, like, in Game 7, remember, against the Dodgers in 2017, he hit the 3-run home run to put it away. And then he, like, does it again in Game 7 of the ALCS. It's
yeah.
It's impressive. You know,
it's impressive to do it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, without cheating, I'm very impressed. It was a great hit. It was iconic. I'm proud of him
for
that. Well,
theoretically, they wouldn't have been cheating in Game 7 at Dodger Stadium. From what we know,
you never get to Game 7 if they're not cheating when Kershaw's pitching in Houston. They don't swing at any sliders or breaking balls. Look, I'm over it. It's fine, Jesse. I've moved on.
I'm over it, too. We've only been talking about it for like seven minutes. Yeah.
We've won two World Series, dude. I'm over it. Dude.
8 years later, we're talking. We're leading the Dodgers-Blue Jays World Series talking about
George Springer.
Yeah.
I just think it's important that the new generation doesn't forget where he came from. Yeah. But anyways, like I said, I think it's just kind of only like, you know, a little poetic justice if the Dodgers continue their run through this postseason and win the World Series, that it is by, you know, dominating George Springer and making him an ineffective piece of that, you know, top of the lineup. But yeah, Jess, I would love to see him get shut down. But boy, there's some hot bats on that Blue Jays offense, dude. They are just mashing taters, bunch of guys with high OPS, high batting average. It seems like if you don't want Vladdy Jr. to beat you, there's Kirk that's really hungry, looking to just smash one out. You got Varsho, you know, like we were just talking about, the aforementioned Springer has been having a tear this postseason. So
they're
deep, dude.
They're full of guys that a lot of people haven't really heard of, that they're becoming more well known now. I mean, I'll be honest, I didn't know who Nathan Lukes was, you know, going into these playoffs, really. I didn't know much about him.
Unfamiliar.
He's 30 years old, guy that is was gonna retire, you know, and now he's hitting second for the Blue Jays in the World Series. You know, it's like It's kind of one of those stories that you just kind of love when, as a baseball fan. You just hope that he's not having his magical moment against you, you know, when the time comes. And it seems like they are just a team full of guys that know their role on the team. They're not like Vladdy's the star. George Springer is the, you know, the veteran leader. You know, you got Alejandro Kirk, he's like the heartbeat of the team.
The spark plug, if you will. Yeah.
You got all those other guys that are just, they're role players that might not be superstars, but they are high contact, quality at bat, make you work for the out. If you're going to get them out, they're going to make you work for it. And they're going to, you know, they're going to put the ball in play, dude. They don't strike out a lot. And it's worth noting, I do believe that Bo Bichette will be back for this series.
Yes. So
that's
and Jess, I just want to add one thing.
Adds another element of contact to that lineup.
I think you nailed pretty much everything. I just want to add one last thing, dude. And they're hungry as hell. This is a team that hasn't been to the World Series in over 3 decades. This is a young core that knows this might be their last time together in regards to Vladdy and Bo.
Well, because their pitching is old.
Exactly. And you know, they've kind of had some shortcomings in the postseason and not making it and yada, yada, yada. And this really feels like their moment where everybody's clicking. Everybody's been bought in all season. You know, they beat the bad man in the Yankees, not only for the division, but got to, you know, cast off a lot of postseason ghosts by defeating the Yankees in the first round, the division series. And I'm just saying, like,
and they took the Mariners' best punch, and they punched back. You know,
wow, yeah, absolutely,
nailed
that. And you know, the pitching the Mariners have is just about as good as anybody, you know, Dodgers.
Yeah, and they made him look bad,
dude. Yeah, there were some beatdowns. So it's all long-winded to say that these Blue Jays are for real. They can mash, and even these, you know, vaunted Dodgers starters that we got, this four-headed Hydra, hey, man, they can get touched up if we're not ready and we're not expecting these hungry Jays to come out after a dogfight in 7 games. And we can't come out as, you know, looking to repeat fat, happy cats, you know, like, all right, let's settle into this. We got to come out from the gate. Shohei's got to be ready to have a good at bat. You know, Mookie's going to be ready. But this is going to show a lot of the professionalism of that Dodgers team that we saw after sweeping the Brewers at home, go out like it was game 148. And they were just, you know, all right, let's get out of here.
Just another win in August. Yeah, yeah.
Right? It was crazy. Have you seen any of those side-by-side comparisons?
I saw it. Blue Jays going nuts. It makes sense, though. I mean, Dodgers are going back to back. it was a sweep. It wasn't a competitive series versus like that series that was tooth and nail, like butts clenched till the very end. I could understand it, you know.
Absolutely.
The thing that I love, because I want to break down some stats here. You know that we're a big stats pod, dude. Like
they call
stats.
Us the stats pod, dude. Yeah. Stat me, daddy.
This feels like a matchup of two teams, where it's one team's greatest strength versus another team's greatest strength, and we're gonna find out who comes out on top here. The Dodgers' greatest strength is that they led baseball in most strikeouts. As a pitching staff, they miss bats better than anybody in baseball. They led the league with 1,505. Blue Jays were sixth with 1,430. So it's not a huge difference, but, you know, that's basically like half a strikeout more per game throughout the course of the regular season, right?
Oh, wow.
That's a lot. But the Blue Jays, on the other hand, struck out the least in Major League Baseball. So the Dodgers struck out the most hitters. The Blue Jays, as hitters, struck out the fewest times. The second fewest in baseball. I apologize. Dodgers were 15th. So second fewest behind the Kansas City Royals. So the Blue Jays' greatest strength is that they put the ball in play. They don't hit home runs like the Dodgers do. They're not like, you know, chumps. They don't hit home runs. But the Dodgers, I believe, were second in homers behind the Yankees, and the Blue Jays were 13th. Dodgers had 53 more home runs throughout the course of the regular season than the Blue Jays. So there's a clear power advantage to the Dodgers, but Blue Jays led Major League Baseball in batting average. So they had, whereas the Dodgers were sixth with a .253, Blue Jays hit .265. And on base percentage is where this gets interesting, because even with the better batting average, the Dodgers actually had a slightly better on base percentage. So Dodgers were .323. I'm wrong about that. That's a pitching stat. Ignore what I just said. Long story short.
No, you were right there, though. The Dodgers are 15th in OBP. Blue Jays were 16th. The Dodgers
that's
at
pitching.
320.
That's OBP against. I fucked that up. I saw where you were. That's my bad.
And now
I'm
the dork with you. But that's
no, Blue Jays number one in OBP at .333. Dodgers fifth with .327. That's it. That's the number.
Deferred collusion.
So, yeah, it's going to be strength versus strength and see who comes out on top.
Yeah, man. It's. I didn't know some of these numbers were so close, like you were saying. Dodgers second in homers at .244. I didn't know that the discrepancy was that high with the Jays at 13th at .191. I did think the Jays were in the top five for some reason. I guess maybe just because Vladdy's been mashing so damn much this postseason. It just feels like every other game he's, you know, got at least one. So I wonder how well the Dodgers are going to be able to keep him in the ballpark, really looking to get a lot of ground balls. But, you know, it seems like this Dodgers defense is really going to be put to the test. And, you know, I think if you ask any Dodgers fan, how do they feel about their team's infield defense? Best in the league, you know, no weak points. The outfield, you know, Andy Páez has been known to take some interesting routes on a ball. Fantastic arm. And you never know what you're going to get with Teo. It's almost like if he gets an error, you know he's going to hit for an RBI or a homer. So you kind of take the good with the bad. We'll see who's in left. I know you're a big Alex Call truther.
I hope he's on the roster, man. I do. I want to see Alex Call on the roster.
He's very much a, like, make something happen type of a AB. I like
he reminds me of a guy on the Blue Jays. You know, he feels like one of those guys.
Alex Call would be starting on the Blue Jays right now.
He would be, yeah. So the Dodgers, the one thing that I think that the Dodgers are going to create problems for the Blue Jays pitching is that they were second in Major League Baseball with walks. The Blue Jays were 13th. In baseball, and the Dodgers, you know, the Blue Jays pitchers do be walking some guys. I actually think I might have some stats on that, but like that's something that, you know, we're gonna have to watch for, because, you know, I know that the Blue Jays bullpen ERA is better than the Dodgers over the regular season. Theirs was 3.98, Dodgers 4.27, but the expected ERA is actually different. The Dodgers actually have a better expected ERA at 3.86, whereas Blue Jays are at 4.00 even. And that, I think, kind of showed up itself a little bit in the Philly series, because there were sort of similar numbers, number matchups there. And I think, obviously, with the arrival of Roky Sasaki and Emmett Sheehan being pushed back to the bullpen, I think that the Dodgers' pen is, like, their regular season stats just aren't as applicable as they would have been, like, a month ago, in my opinion.
I think that's super fair to say.
Yeah. But you know, the Blue Jays are pretty much kind of running with the normal guys. You know, Jeff Hoffman is their closer, who closed it out, looked good last night, but he had a 4.37 ERA on the season. You know, that's the guy that you're expecting to close games in October. So,
was he roommates with Tanner Scott or something?
Maybe he might have been. Tanner Scott would be their setup man. You know, on this team.
I'm ripping Tanner, but I'm genuinely rooting for him, and I believe he's going to get us some big outs in this series. Yeah. Jess, I'm really starting to like worry, and tell me if I'm silly for this, but I'm really starting to worry about, you know, rust versus rest setting in on our hot Dodgers. Do you think that the fans that are truly concerned about a lethargic Dodgers team have some, some weight to their grievance?
This is what I would think. I think that in years past on a younger Dodger team or a younger playoff team, I think that the layoff could be – you're talking about the layoff, yeah?
Exactly.
I think that the layoff plays a bigger role for younger teams, I think is the way I would put it. Because when you're an older team like the Dodgers, guys like Freddie, guys like Mookie, you know, even Shohei's 30. You got guys like Trinan in his late 30s. Glasnow and Snell in their early 30s. I think guys like this who have been around for a while, I don't think that the layoff is as big of a thing. I think that they value rest more than younger lineups like the Blue Jays that probably, you know, benefit from not having a layoff, you know, that they can sort of stay. I don't think that it's going to affect a team like the Dodgers that's sort of done this every year for the past 13 seasons now. You know, they're just they know what that break, what to do with that break. They know how to stay locked in during that time. I'm not concerned about it.
I'm glad you're setting me straight. You're helping me remember. And another thing that I was kind of leaning on as I've kind of, you know, I was going through a little bit of Dodger Twitter today, kind of reading some of the doomers, you know, worried about, of course, Dave, blah, 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 but that not being in front of competitive pitching for a week is going to ice up this already, sporadic offense this postseason. But Jess, I think a big key, and I think we have seen this Dodger team get better from the wild card through the Philly series, through the Brewer series, is not expanding the zone and taking better pitches, having better ABs, and even some situational hitting, right? I think that's going to be something that we're going to see continue. And I think it's in large part, like you were saying, is due to this professionalism and maturity of this Dodgers team. And not to mention, this is Clayton Kershaw, the undisputed GOAT's last dance. You think everybody in that locker room doesn't feel that and understand that? Like you were saying, a week off with a lot of these older guys, a lot of these guys are dads. Not to say that there isn't a fair amount of fathers on the Blue Jays, but you know, Vladdy's a young guy, Bo's a young guy, I can go on. But these Dodgers, a little bit long in the tooth now, right? So I think a little family time, a little time to recenter and focus, I think is actually going to do this Dodgers team good, help get that bullpen even in a better position. And yeah, man, hopefully Shohei takes some damn batting practice before the game. What do you think?
Yeah, you know, I do think that one of the things that we're going to have to watch for in this series is like the ability to throw strikes and the ability to work counts. Because you mentioned how the Dodgers really didn't chase out of the zone against the Brewers. That was not the case against the Phillies. They were really expanding the zone. They were expanding the zone a lot, and even in game one against the Brewers a little bit, but they also got very unlucky to not score more runs in game one. It just, once that Brewer series started, the Dodgers were not expanding the zone. And against a team like the Blue Jays, they are middle of the pack. I think like 15th or 16th in baseball in terms of most walks. So they do let them pitch some walks. But so do the Dodgers. The Dodgers are in the bottom five of baseball in walks allowed as a pitching staff. So a lot of that has to do with the
But not during the postseason, Daddy.
But yeah, the postseason, the Dodgers have been throwing strikes. And I want to see that continue because the Blue Jays will make you pay. They put the ball in play. If you give them free passes, they're going to make you pay. That can't happen. I'm more concerned about home field than I am about the layoff. Because losing home field, I think, sucks, especially against a team like Toronto and that stadium. But also, like, going across international borders, going through customs, the time zone shift, having to make that flight twice potentially in a series, or, you know, back and forth twice in a series. So that's my bigger concern than anything else. So
I feel that.
But they've been the road warrior so far, man. So,
hey, you know. Dodgers love playing on the road. They got a second jet for a reason. They're flying the whole family with them, which shout out to Charlie Kershaw. He's going to get to see his 30th MLB stadium in his young life. You know, the GOAT's little boy was talking earlier this season, I think in Seattle. Kirsten Watson was talking to him and asked him, you know, basically what he's going to miss or what he loved the most. And he just talked about getting to see all the ballparks except for getting to go to the Rogers Center. So shouts out to Charlie Kershaw, going to be a part of MLB history at game one, at the Rogers Center. It's going to be just the seventh World Series game, to be played outside of the U.S. border. So a little bit of a fun factoid.
It's
there.
It's
kind of
crazy that they have won two World Series and it's only the seventh World Series game ever played
outside
of...
That's a good point. Wow. Because that's efficiency.
So they must not have had... I wonder if they didn't have home field in either of those series. I'd have to go back and look. I haven't... I know one of them was against the Phillies. I don't remember who...
Yeah,
the
Blue Jays were last in the World Series back in 1993. And like you said, they had won their second World Series. But, Jess, it was actually their second consecutive...
No, I know. Back-to-back,
World
Series
title. Yeah, how sick is that?
And that's when... was it Dave Stewart who hit the walk-off home run to win the World Series? Was it Dave Stewart? No, not Dave Stewart.
I don't believe I know. Hold off on. The
Blue
top
Jays,
of my head, dude.
Blue Jays World Series walk.
I wasn't gonna lie to you.
Run. Who was it? It was Joe Carter. Not. I'm sorry.
Shout out the Cartman.
Of course, it was Joe Carter. The other guy was a pitcher. What am I even talking about? Joe Carter hit the walk off home run in 1993, and that was the last time the Blue Jays were in the World Series. So
pretty rad. The Dodgers, just on the flip side of that coin, to our Blue Jay brethren, the Dodgers are looking to be the first team since the New York Yankees 1998 to 2000. Their three-peat. Dodgers are looking to repeat as World Series champions for the first time since then. And the last National League team to repeat as World Series champions since the Cincinnati Reds, dude, in the 70s.
It's hard
1975 and 1976. That National League is tough, brother.
Yeah, and I noticed that we mentioned on the last episode that the Dodgers are the first team since the 08-09 Phillies to make back-to-back World Series. That was incorrect. It was the Dodgers in 2017 and 2018. Astros, Red Sox.
How the hell did we not mention that?
I don't know how that happened. That was just overhead.
I still wear the 2017 NLCS team jersey.
I think it's because we forget about the 2018 season a lot. I think that's what it is. Like that was the Machado year. Nobody really thought we were actually going to win that series. We kind of just
2018 one.
Yeah, we kind of just like backed up into the World Series by default, sort of deal. It was weird. That was a weird
year. I felt like that team had a ton of heart. It was a real battle in that second half, I recall, and it was a gutsy playoff performance all around. I was at that final game when the Red Sox clinched it. It was brutal. I was there with my pops. And we fucking are gonna have to sit in traffic for this ass beating. Like it was just a trouncing. I remember seeing Mookie send one over the left field wall. I think it was off of Kershaw on a slider.
Yeah.
It was just like, oh, I just wanted to puke.
Yeah.
But hey, turns out Boston really didn't want to pay Mookie, who wasn't that good. So the Dodgers traded for him, and it's worked out all right.
And they've ruined the sport because of it.
Hey, not yet.
Yeah.
I really want to give Dave Roberts a little bit of credit. as people are saying, he's embracing the villain role.
Yeah, it was a heel turn for sure, you know, to do that publicly, yeah.
Dude, I loved it. You know I'm a geek for a little wrestling-style drama. Mm-hmm. So for Dave to go from smiley, happy guy to this wheeling-dealing villain, I really like it. You know, last year with Manny and the whole baseball thing, you know, I think there was intent behind that. You know, I'm going to have to look at it. This whole, you know, diffusive behavior as he was trying to give his guys a little bit of a smoke screen while they recoup themselves for a dominant run to sweep the little brothers and it seemingly broke the Padres. I mean, they're a franchise in free fall, huh?
Yeah, I saw that they're in talks potentially, or that they're considering Albert Pujols to be their manager, which I actually think is a I like it, to be honest, because if you zoom out a little bit and you look at what the problem is with that team, I promise we're not going to talk very much about the Padres. This is just off the top of my head. Manny Machado and Fernando Tatis, like, that is a team that is, like, desperately searching for some leadership, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And, you know, their biggest stars are kind of, like, their biggest flaws, in a way, in that they're just not leaders of men. And Albert Pujols is, like, of similar descent to those guys. He's Hispanic. He's a superstar just like those guys are, but he's also a legend and a leader and beloved in all clubhouses that he's ever been in. Like, he was brought on late in his career to be like a player coach for the Dodgers. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, to go back to St. Louis. Like, he's Unk. He's Big Unk. He's like a fucking total package.
He's an OG. He's more than an Unk. He's an OG.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think that's what the Padres need. I actually think it would be a great call for them to hire him, to be honest. And I know that he might not be a good, like, analytical coach, but I think he'd be, like, perfect for the personalities in that clubhouse just to get some, like, guidance and perspective, you know? So
yeah, and just to put a bow on what you're saying, I think you'll agree they just need a culture shift over there, and something's got to give.
Yep.
But there is obvious toxicity in that clubhouse. Can't maintain a manager. Mike Schilt retiring in the middle of his, you know, 4-year contract.
Supposedly, but he was being accused of, like, abuse or something, like, in the clubhouse, like, that he was, like, abusive to staff or something. Like, there was some crazy stuff floating around about him. And I actually kind of don't believe it, to be honest. I feel like there are reports going out there looking for a scapegoat to take the heat off the players in the clubhouse. I feel like Mike Schilt's kind of, like, taking an L for the franchise on this one.
Well, that's what they know how to take. But anyways, moving on from our bros.
Yeah.
Jess, let's get to our predictions. Yeah. What do you think?
So the odds, do you want to go through them, or do you want me to do them?
Take it, Pop.
All right. Dodgers -210, Blue Jays +175. That's to be expected. I love how you broke down these by game, though. If you're looking to, like, make some little bets here and there, Dodgers in 4 is +650. Dodgers in 5 is +350. Dodgers in 6 is +375. Dodgers in 7 is +475. So plus Dodgers in 5 is actually the best, is what the odds makers think is the most likely outcome here. Blue Jays in 4 is 25-1. So that's +2,500. Blue Jays in 5 is 12-1. So that's +600. I think that's right. Blue Jays in 6. I could be wrong on that, actually. No, that's +1,200. I apologize, not +600. Blue Jays in 5 is +1,200. Blue Jays in 6 is +700. Blue Jays in 7 is +550. All right. So out of all of those outcomes, Brandon, which one do you like the best? Are you putting your money where your mouth is? What are you betting on to happen here?
Man, Jess, I really, really want to see a uncompetitive series and the Dodgers just waltz to victory. But I don't think that's going to happen. I think it's going to be competitive. I think that the Dodgers are going to split the first two games in Canada. And I think this series will be wrapped up with a Dodgers victory in 6 games. 6-7. Okay. I'm an idiot. I'm so sorry, dude. I work with some younger guys.
Dude, don't ever do that again, bro. I went to an adult baby shower the other week. We was like a Burning Man themed thing because the guy that's having a kid is like a big Burning Man guy. So anyways, we were all dressed up like in Burning Man outfits and stuff. But anyways, so a couple of kids ended up showing up because they were the kids of this family. And so they were sort of sectioned off to the garage and I was hanging out with them. And I'm like, how do I communicate with these kids? I was trying to show them how to set up a Nintendo Switch. And I just go, like, how old are you, man? Are you like 6, 7? What? You know, they fucking, I'm telling you, dude, they thought I was the biggest loser. As soon as I did that, they just like were hanging on to me all day. They just wanted to play video games with me. I was like the cool uncle all of a sudden. Yeah.
Tight, dude.
Yeah. It was good. I felt good about myself. You know, I was like, I can't believe I cracked this generation.
There you go, Unc.
Yeah. But I'd never do that again though, Brandon, please. All right. So six games. Here's the thing I have with Dodgers winning in six games is that you're going back to Canada, the Rogers Center. You're making that flight again. You're crossing the border again, going through customs again, doing all that shit again. I feel like if the Dodgers are, if it's going six, then I feel like it kind of goes seven naturally is like the issue I'm having here. I feel like if it gets to six, it's getting to 7-2. I think the Dodgers win in seven if that happens, but I think the Dodgers regular season is not indicative of what this team really is. Ooh. The Dodgers are on an incredible run right now where they are 7-1. They are 9-1 in the playoffs so far. They have won like 21 of their last 27 games. And they're not even playing their best baseball. And we started to see their best baseball coming in at the end of that Brewers series, where they really started to extend at bats. And it was like harder and harder and harder to get through that lineup. I think the Blue Jays have a very good pitching staff. I don't think it's a great one. I think guys like Scherzer, who's obviously great, I think he was a little lucky to get through those five and two-thirds, whatever it was in Seattle. I think, guys like Gossman, very good, but the Dodgers have faced him a lot. He's a B pitcher. He's not an A pitcher. I think you have four A pitchers, A starting pitchers, going up against four B starting pitchers.
Mm.
And a bullpen that's pretty even, in my opinion. The Blue Jays are a little bit better at making contact, but the Dodgers hit for more power. Blue Jays don't strike out, but the Dodgers strike out more hitters than anybody else. The Brewers were also one of the highest contact hitters in the teams in the league, and the Dodgers completely shut them down. I'm having trouble seeing how the Blue Jays can win 4 out of 7. I think it's obviously a very close matchup, but I do think that the Dodgers are going to win in 5 games at home because I think they split 2 in Toronto, and then I think they just ride it out at home. That's my personal opinion. I think that they are pitching too well at Dodger Stadium for the Blue Jays to do it. If it gets to 6, it's going 7, and then I have Dodgers in 7.
There you go. You heard it here first. Yeah. Deferred collusion. Your boy thinks it's happening in 6. Jesse in LA.
I think the bullpens are the same, and the Dodgers' expected ERA is better than the Blue Jays. And I think that we're seeing that in the playoffs play out because the Dodgers have a formula now. And you got Roki in the pen and Sheehan in the pen, and I just don't know. And that just makes that bullpen so much better. And also, Blake Treinen has looked a little bit better, like this past couple of outings. I'm not saying he looks great.
Yeah, shout out to Blake.
But I just think that, like, Roki, Jeff Hoffman, I think you go down the line of all of these relievers, I think that the Dodgers matches up with all of them. And then I think the Dodgers have a better lineup than the Blue Jays do. So
I love it, brother. We are going to find out. It's going to be absolute pure anxiety. Yeah. I'm actually working my hardest, my grubby little mitts, to get some tickets. So we'll see how that works out. Jesse, I wanted to ask you, dude, who's your X factor to watch for both teams? We'll start off with the Blue Jays and end with our Dodgers. Go for it.
Bo Bichette. He hasn't played at all. He is. We haven't seen him. We don't know what he's going to look like coming back from injury. And that's going to be you know, he could potentially make or break that series for them. If he's swinging out of his shoes and just having bad at-bats, which he can do from time to time. He's a great hitter, but he doesn't walk a lot. And if he's just swinging out of his shoes, giving in to the Dodgers' strengths and, you know, just rolling over balls and grounding out constantly, that's going to be a problem. That's going to be a hole for the Blue Jays. So, but if he's hot, that team just gets so much harder to deal with. And then for the Dodgers, it has to be Shohei Ohtani. I'm taking your pick from last week because we saw what he just did. If we get
greatest
that Shohei,
game ever.
If we get that Shohei in this series, it's like Blue Jays World Series was the ALCS. You know, yeah, I think dude. That we can agree with that. So, but if I'm not going to pick Shohei, I still believe that somebody in the bottom of the order has to get things done. I think Andy Páez showed some things. He's my third pick in a row. Andy Páez needs to have good at-bats, dude. He needs to have good at-bats.
So we
hitting
got
in front
Bo
of Shohei, bro. Like, you have to. You have to.
Got Bo Bichette and Andy Páez. Well, Jess, yeah. My original pick that I had was going to be one Andrew Andy the Cannon Páez out in center field. Hopefully having him cover some ground in that tricky outfield out in Rogers Center. Very bouncy.
That's a good point.
Very deep. But
and
yeah,
Teo,
like
too,
said,
in right field. Oh, my God.
Absolutely. It goes without saying. Teo's gotta lock it up over there in right field. But for me, it's Andy. We've seen him have some big at-bats come in some huge clutch moments. And his ability to not chase, make contact, and if he can extend those arms and hit for power like we've seen him do in the regular season for 27 bombs, I think he can be that edge that just makes that Dodger lineup too long, too, you know, just too much ability to turn over and get those big boppers. Another look at Shohei, another look at Mookie, another look at Freddie and Teo against these, you know, bullpen relievers. And Jess, we haven't even talked about Teo played here. He succeeded.
I was just about
Toronto.
To bring that up. Yeah.
So look for him to actually, maybe we were worried about that defense. Maybe he feels a little back at home out there in right field. What
he might
think?
Know that field well enough. I mean, I know that they made some changes to the stadium since he left, but you know, once you've played on turf like that for a full year, you kind of do pick up some tricks of how to properly play it, how to attack balls, you know, like that are you know, dropping in bloopers, things like that. Because how many bloopers do we see in Toronto that the outfielder chases in and then it just bounces over their head?
Yeah,
you know, and it turns into a double or a triple.
On.
Yeah, yeah,
exactly.
So we'll see. That's a good point. I'm more worried about Teo than I am Páez, but it's a good point that he's played there before.
Yeah.
So let's end it here. So you have Dodgers in six. I have Dodgers in five. Who is your World Series MVP?
Jess, I think that it might shock you, but it's going to support my pick, all right? I'm going to just cut straight to the point. I think it's going to be Blake Snell. I think the Dodgers are going six, and I think we're going to see Blake Snell go twice, and I think he's going to get two wins. I think one of those, if everything goes right, could be a complete game as well. So look for some big game pitching from the Dodgers' unofficial ace, Blake Snellzilla.
Love the pick. I think it's a great call. Game one starters are always the best option for pitchers. That's always the best option. I want to say Shohei Ohtani, but he just won NLCS MVP.
And real quick, did you see what he put on the it was like a team award or something like
that? Oh, yeah. I loved that. Covered it up, love said it. Team award instead. Yeah. That's
team
a
effort.
Fucking leader right there. Yeah.
Yeah, it said team effort, something like that.
This is the series, I believe, where we finally see Mookie Betts solidify himself as the unquestioned leader of the Dodgers. And he's going to hit a lot of doubles in Toronto. He might scrape a homer there. And I think he's going to have a big series. I think he's going to hit like close to 400 and he's going to win World Series MVP in this series.
I love that. Yeah. I love that.
I think this is his, I think it's his time to finally like just lock down a World Series on his own as a Dodger. you know, because he's been here for 5 years. This is like it all. This new era of Dodgers baseball. You know, there's like two. Mm-hmm. There's been three iterations of this Dodgers, you know, divisional dynasty over the past 13 years, right? It was the early years with like the Kershaw, Adrian Gonzalez, Hanley Ramirez team.
Ryu.
Yeah, and then it was the middle years where it was, you know, like the
Granky,
Seager, Granky, Bellinger, you know, those guys
the
came in.
The homegrown guys, Turner,
yeah, exactly. And
Taylor,
then we've
Benson.
Had the Mookie Betts era. Mookie came in. And it became the superstar Avengers Dodgers, you know, and that was the start of all of it in terms of like the Dodgers being the powerhouse that they are now that everybody believes is ruining baseball. This is Mookie's time, I think, to really do it because, you know, he's on the decline as a player and it's pretty obvious, but he's still so good. His at-bat quality is still so great. Still makes a lot of contact, and I think a team like the Blue Jays, he can make a lot of contact and hit some doubles and get some RBIs and things like that. That I think are gonna he'll stat pad a little bit in this series, I think.
And just to your point, this postseason Mookie is batting .293 with a .809 OPS. So looking pretty damn good with that, one hit by pitch.
Amazing in the Red Series, too. I think he went 4-for-5 in those games. I think we're going to see a couple of those games from Mookie in this series.
You know, we've seen him now get just kind of disrespected. I mean, I guess disrespected is the wrong word, but as a professional, get disrespected by having Shohei be intentionally walked right in front of him. You know, we see Shohei hit one out of Dodger Stadium, two other homers. So greatest performance ever to send his team to the World Series. So, you know, you can't really fault managers too much for walking him in front of Mookie. But with, you know, the game on the line, we've seen Mookie have big league at-bats where he's not chasing, he's fouling pitches off, he's fighting, and then takes the walk to score a run, give us the, you know, the lead, insurance, whatever it's been. And those have been just as impressive to me, Jess, as the stellar defensive performance, that Jeter play. Yeah. You know, it's just been lights out. And that's, you know, like you were saying, with his decline happening, you know, we're in subprime Mookie, and it's like, I don't know, man. It looks like when that guy's feeling good, there's a reason why he's the best baseball player on the planet that's not named Shohei Ohtani. Yeah.
Yep. No. And I think this is just a good matchup for him in this series. As I think he does better against righties than he does against lefties, as weird as that sounds. And he's going to be facing a lot of righties, I think, that he can handle in this series. And I think that we're going to... I just think he is in such a good position hitting after Shohei in front of Freddie and Teo that he's in such
a
good
position. And he's taking advantage of it.
Yeah, to see some good pitches. I wouldn't be surprised if he hits two homers in this series, you know?
Ooh, I like that call out. So just to,
he's due. He hasn't hit one in a while. He's due.
Yeah, and he's had 12 hits, 4 walks to only 4 strikeouts. So, yeah. I mean... Dude's getting on base. It's just incredible to see. I love that pick. I would love to see the power pick up. And look for your boy Tommy Edman to crank a couple bombs too, because I know he's going to be in a position where he's going to see some like, hey, we can get this guy out with a fastball, and he's going to get under one. And I don't know if it's going to be from the right side or the left side of the plate. But having a switch hitter that has that kind of slug that – you know, Tommy's got is just unreal. And haven't even talked about Muncy
or Will,
you know, the linchpin of
Will.
This offense, or Will, you know?
Yeah.
Or fucking Kike.
That 5-6-7 in the lineup that is going to be like crucial in this series for sure. Yeah. Like, they're like, if those guys can just continue extending innings as much as possible so you can get Shohei up and Mookie up as many times as possible, if those guys keep having good at-bats and keep getting on, even if you're not scoring runs, even if Páez is rolling over one, striking out with runners on, whatever, you're getting Shohei an extra at-bat, you know, constantly. So that's going to be super important.
It's going to be up to the offense to give that, you know, shaky bullpen its runway, right? It's area to operate and maybe get beat up a little bit, but not break like we've seen throughout the postseason. Bend but don't break, baby.
Yes, sir.
Let's do this.
Dodgers versus Blue Jays is coming up on Friday. It's gonna be amazing. It's the World Series, and we're gonna be covering it every game, Brandon. I am so excited. I'm nervous. I'm excited. I'm ready to go. But this has been Deferred Collusion, Papas. It's me, Jesse Rowe, King of Crespi, joined as always by Brandon Bullinger, the Lord Paramount of the South Bay in Los Angeles, California. Brandon, as always, you get the last word.
Jesse, you know I love doing this with you, my big daddy. Thanks for joining us. You know we're your blue-collar boys, talking all that good, good. If you enjoyed yourself, hit us with a comment, like, subscribe. It helps us out. You know we love chatting with you. Hit us in the comments. Let us know what we missed. Enjoy baseball.